Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle, and you know our company, Employee Cycle. We are that people dashboard for all of you HR and people leaders out there that are working at small companies and don't have the resources to really dig into all your data and analytics. You're super busy and overwhelmed with all the things that you're doing, and you really want to be that data-driven HR superhero, but it always gets pushed to the bottom of your to-do list. Well, look no further, because that's why we created this people dashboard with pre-built integration connectors to all of the most popular systems you're using. So you can just easily drop in your API key from systems like Bamboo HR, Namely, Trinet, 15.5, Office 5, Greenhouse, Sapling, you name it, to be able to pull all your people data in one place so you can view, track, share, and analyze all that data in one centralized and beautiful dashboard. Go to employeecycle.com to check it out. Learn more. You can sign up for a demo. I would love to chat with you. Or you can actually give it a spin yourself and sign up for a free trial. All right, well, that's enough about me and Employee Cycle, because today I would like to welcome a special guest to the show. So please help me welcome Erica Lead. She's an HR business partner at Ridgeline. And today we're going to discuss how to help employees succeed during a crisis. Erica, welcome to the podcast.
Woo! Erica, welcome! Woo.
Thanks, Bruce. I'm really excited to be here today.
I'm excited that you chose to spend your time doing this, where you could be doing anything else in the world.
It was a good use of my time.
Oh, I hope it is. It is definitely going to be a good use. So, Erica, you told me earlier that you have listened to some of our previous podcasts, so you know what I'm about to say. But we're going to kick off this show the best way we know how, which is by asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Oh my gosh, yes. So I actually ended up in HR off of a bet, which is a bit unique, I'm sure. I went to school at Purdue University and was looking for an internship. And one of my good friends called out a company that was really tough to get internships at. So we made a bet to see who could get one, and I succeeded. So I took an HR internship and had taken maybe only about three HR classes, really did not know what I was getting myself into. But after a summer with a really great company, I fell in love. And so I've really been in HR ever since. I dabbled in sales for about a year, which was a really cool experience for me to actually build my HR acumen and become a better business partner. But it all started from that one bet back in college. So very thankful for that.
Wow. And who says gambling doesn't pay off?
So true.
All right. So today we're discussing how to help employees succeed during a crisis. So now we're in the middle of September 2020. For some reason, it's becoming fall way too quickly, but we're all still dealing with all of the things that COVID has brought in regards to stress, anxiety, staying at home, wearing masks. There's a lot of different things going on in the world, yet people who are still fortunate and blessed enough to have a job and actually still be able to work, they need to compartmentalize and still figure out how to focus on what they're doing, along with all the other added pressures that we have in this new COVID world. So can you explain to us a little bit about what does that look like at Ridgeline? And on the surface, how are you helping employees do that? And then we'll dig into that more specifically.
Definitely. So I work for Ridgeline, which is a financial tech company, and we're in our startup stages. We're about 3 years old and growing rapidly. And one of the things that's really unique about us is we actually added a large part of our workforce during COVID. And so when we did this, we knew it was a unique challenge, not only adding that many people, but adding it, as you said, kind of during a crisis, which takes a lot of energy, both physically and mentally, from not only our team, but from the people joining our company. And as HR managers, we know that our role is to be in service of the business, not in servitude, but in service, to really show up every day and help our employees bring their best selves to work so they can do their best work to help us meet our goals and our challenges. And so with that, we know we have to take care of the whole employee, which is not only what happens from 9 to 5, but how do we help set them up to be, you know, successful during that time so they have mental energy to go spend with their family and do the right things after work to rest and recharge and come back the next day better than ever. So for us, it was really about listening to them and what they needed. We have employees that are really comfortable raising their hand and asking for help. And so a lot of it was around having conversations to hear them out and hear what was on their minds and hearts, but then also start to share with them what are the right resources that can really help them build the skill sets they need, whether it's to cope or to really decompress from all of the stress of the world and work today. And for us, that was kind of where we really started the conversation.
So let me help set the stage for all the listeners, because that's so interesting and fascinating that you did so much hiring during COVID. How many employees did you have pre-COVID, so before March of this year?
Pre-COVID, we had 90 employees.
And now, being in the middle of September, how many employees do you have?
We have just under 175.
Wow. So you almost doubled in size and headcount during COVID.
Yes.
What was that process like from a hiring perspective? What were you doing to communicate the culture of your business? What were you doing to make sure that you had a streamlined, automated, and amazing hiring experience for the candidates during that? Because I'm sure a lot of companies struggled with this now being remote versus in person, which most companies were used to.
Yeah, that's a great question. So if I tackle the hiring part first, which is actually, you know, one of the biggest accomplishments, is really getting that many people excited and in the door, especially about a company that's newer to the industry like us. We just have a really phenomenal talent acquisition team that was doing a lot of great work to find the right people that felt like they were a fit for our cultures and values. As part of that team, one of the real ways in which we sell our company and get people excited about joining Ridgeline was the on-site interview process. Because that was a moment where they could truly feel, you know, who they were going to be working with, how we worked on a daily basis, and what life would be like if they came to work for us, and kind of picture themselves in it. And with COVID, that went away. You know, we had to Zoom interview, and that can be really sterile, especially for people looking for jobs or doing different interviews throughout the day to kind of get a real good feel. But the truth is, we decided not to really change how we operated from a total day agenda standpoint. So we left the fact that the candidates would have a lot of interaction with different people so they could really get a diverse viewpoint of what the company would look like if they joined. And then what we did is we really just kind of unleashed our people to say, hey, find your authentic self and bring that to life in Zoom, because that is what is going to make people want to join us. Now, once we got them on board and said yes to come joining us from all over the US, because we kind of have told people to sit tight until we can bring them to our two locations, we knew that one of the biggest moments was going to be their first day, because that really set the tone for their employee experience. And a remote first day is not something a lot of people have ever had to do. So we had a really great onboarding program in place prior to COVID. It was 2 half days in person in Klein Village, Nevada, which, in my very biased opinion, is one of the most beautiful places in the world. So it was a lot of fun and a lot of excitement. And when that moved to 2 days online, we had to really pivot to say, hey, how do you bring that same energy and excitement? And how do you help build that sense of community when these people are joining remotely and going to stay remote? And in some cases, have not met a single other person from the company in their time with us. So how do you really make that experience best in class? And one that sets them up for success to really have an accelerated contributions and performance. And for us, again, it was about authenticity, but it was also about making small moments within the training to really have those conversations and build community and connections and just be honest about the reality of the situation. You know, we didn't put rose-colored glasses on and say, this is great. We're so excited that we're all virtually onboarding. But we kind of leaned into how it was a tough moment, but that we would be resilient and get through it together as a team. And we recently actually just did a survey with our team, and I think we got 4.7 out of 5 from the 90 people that we've onboarded saying that they felt like it was truly best in class and set them up for success and made them feel like part of our family. So that was really positive to see.
That's awesome. And I just want to clear up one of the things that I heard. You said that people will be moving back to offices. So if I'm getting this right, during this hiring process, when you almost doubled in headcount, were you hiring a lot of new employees all across the country? But then once you move back to the office, all those employees will then move locations to work in those places? Or did you only hire employees around those two locations so that they'll work from home, but then they won't have to relocate? They'll already be near the locations when you go back in.
Great question. So I would say that our net for people that really are a fit for Ridgeline is the total U.S. You know, there's great talent in many cities across the U.S. We as a company have two home locations. One is in Incline Village, right around Lake Tahoe, Nevada, and the other is in New York. And so as we interviewed people, we did set the expectation that there is going to come a day where you are going to have to be connected to one of those offices. And that's truly because we see a significant value in in-person collaboration and learning and building of community. But we also said at the same time, we recognize right now is not the right time to move for many of you. And so we've continued to share with people when we anticipate we will return to office, which right now our stake in the ground is January 1st. But of course, as many companies know, we're reevaluating that on a monthly basis to see if that still feels right based on the current climate. And so what we've shared with people is, you know, when we are ready to reopen and when from state and local laws, they're ready to truly have us back, we're going to want to see you come to one of those locations.
Thanks so much for that explanation. So now what I want to go into is talking about helping employees succeed during a crisis. And since we're off the heels of talking about your phenomenal growth plans and increasing your headcount, I want to talk about how that relates to new hires and new hire onboarding. So how are you setting up your new hires for success? And you talked about this a little bit before in regards to the onboarding process, but how are you really showing them that you have empathy for their personal situation, whatever that is? You know, so many different people are going through so many different things, whether it's mental health or loneliness or being home with their children because they can't go to school or taking care of a loved one, or maybe somebody in their life recently passed through COVID. I mean, there's so many things going on. I'm sure that employees, as they're looking at companies to join, they're thinking, will this company support me? Will they provide me with a flexible work schedule? Will they truly understand that the world is on fire and I might need to adjust to that personally and maybe need some wellness benefits, whatever that is. I'm just now just making stuff up. But how did you go about making employees feel comfortable with joining your company and letting them know and making them feel that they made a good choice?
Great question. So Ridgeline, we have 6 core values that we truly live and operate by on a daily basis. And the first one being employees. You know, I've been at several different companies and I think a lot of companies say this, but one of the things that I'm uniquely proud of with our company is that we truly live it. And I think not only from a leadership top down perspective, but from a bottom up, right? The employees push for it and ask for it and operate in an empowered way to put themselves first. And so I think two of the things that really stand out to me that we do is first and foremost, we allow flexibility. You know, in this world where we're operating on different time zones, and as you said, the world is on fire, you know, people are dealing with kids at home or taking care of sick parents or family members. And the truth is, we believe that as long as you get your work done, you're an adult and you can figure out how to do that, whether that's waking up early and taking time to then homeschool your kids in the middle of the day or logging on, you know, later in the afternoon. But as long as you can accomplish what we need you to, we're going to give you as much flexibility as possible. And then the second thing is I think we lead with empathy. We all know that everything, what people are feeling right now is very valid. And we never want to minimize that. And each person's story is going to be unique and what weighs heavy on each person is going to be unique. And all that we can do as colleagues and as partners is really seek to understand and help support through that. because we know that if we can really support people in the toughest of times, they are going to truly flourish when things get back to normal and when we can operate at our peak. And so I think for us, we know that in some capacities, it's an investment in really driving that support, but it's an investment we definitely want to make.
And how did you go about communicating all that to your new hires?
We communicate it from day one. So the first day of our onboarding program is really focused on orienting people to our company overview, our culture, and our values. And in the first hour, we start to talk about how we're uniquely positioned to be successful in this pandemic, but also how we're uniquely supporting our employees. So that is kind of the kickoff content so that we make sure we know a lot of people walking in may have anxiety about that of how is this truly going to come to life and how are they going to support me? And we know that there's a lot of value in putting it at the front of the training and, you know, recognizing it right off the bat.
So when it comes to existing employees, how did you go about understanding and identifying what they were going through and then providing solutions, help, and support to make sure that they could make it through all of these things that are happening in 2020 and help them actually perform well and get their work done, but still show that your company has a heart and that you're not just expecting them to be robots and not be affected by all the things happening in the world?
Definitely. Super important, right? Because we have a large body of existing employees. One of the first things we did is really listened. And I think we talked about this a little bit, but we actually did a lot of surveys almost on a monthly basis. They were short pulse surveys, but really helped us get a good sense of the organization in terms of where people were from a mental perspective. And then also we, as part of those surveys, asked some questions about like, what can we do differently and what can we do to support you right now? So some of the early changes we made was we doubled down in terms of mental health. So we really helped people understand what were the existing resources we had to support them. And then we started to invest in some other ones, such as things like Headspace. We also brought in an expert to talk about mindfulness and meditation and resilience. And we have a employee base that is skews towards the younger side. So a little bit first, second jobs, things of that nature. And some of them haven't been through something like this before. I don't think any of us have been through something like this before to the extent that coronavirus has truly become. But for a lot of people, they haven't been through challenges like this while in the workforce. And so we knew that one of our responsibilities was to help them build those skill sets so that they could take care of themselves. And then, you know, when you take care of yourself, you're able to bring a better version of yourself to work. And so for us, it was about providing resources and open door communication. And then since then, we've really just continued to check in and pivot and iterate as we hear different things would be helpful.
When you said that you started providing wellness benefits and mental health solutions like Calm and Headspace apps, was that reacting to survey trends that you found? Or did you just have a general sense and a gut feeling that people were stressed the hell out and so you wanted to provide them whatever you could that made sense?
It was actually a reaction to people asking for it. Like I said in the beginning, our employees are really vocal and they're very comfortable sharing what they need. And so we heard very bluntly, like they would like it and they felt like it would be a helpful resource. And since we launched it, I think we've had almost 50% of the employee base join and be active users.
That's awesome. So the last question I want to ask is around what was the biggest challenge in helping your employees succeed during a crisis? And then if there's one thing that you want your listeners and everyone who's listening to this interview to remember, what would that be?
So I would say the biggest challenge that we have faced is the isolation. And so we are a company who truly, our competitive advantage is our culture. And in absence of being able to be together to build the culture, we've had to really pivot and find new ways to continue cultivating, you know, our community and our, when we're not co-located. And so I think that was a big challenge going in because it's something that really adds a lot to our employee value proposition and what people see as huge benefits from our company, as well as what makes us achieve our goals. And so early on, we had to figure out how we do that well. I'm really proud to say that we found some solutions that worked well for us as a company. One example would be the Earth Day, which is one of our company holidays. And it's a company holiday for us because we are founded in a really beautiful place and we feel a unique responsibility to take care of the community that we live and operate in every day. In past years, we've spent Earth Day together as a community, learning about the Earth, learning about our personal impact and how we can really drive sustainability, and then just spending time together, taking care of that community. And that was the first big moment in COVID where we knew we weren't going to be able to do that in the same way we'd done it before. And so we knew that people would compare to what it was last year and they would feel disappointed that we couldn't have an activity like this. And while they could rationally understand why, I think it just contributed to the isolation of having to stay home and work independently. And so at that moment, we actually decided to double down and find a way to do it that would be different, but hopefully just as great. And I think our employees coming out of the activity that we did with them just felt lighter and brighter and in a better spot to have confidence in us as a company that we could still continue building that culture and community in a meaningful way while we weren't co-located.
Erica, thank you so much for being such an awesome podcast guest and for sharing so much of your wisdom and experience around helping employees succeed during a crisis. Thank you so much for being on the show. Woo! Erica! So where can people find you and Ridgeline online?
Yes. So I am online on LinkedIn. My first name is Erica. My last name is Lead. So you can find me there. You can also find our company Ridgeline at ridgelineapps.com. We'd love to see you join our team if there's anyone out there looking for a change of pace and a company that really puts employees first.
Awesome. And we'll definitely put all of that contact info in the show notes. So if you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as Erica and I did making it, then please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes. It shows that you care and that we're providing great content. Also, if this was the very first time that you're listening to this Employee Cycle podcast and you would like to hear more episodes, then please go to employeecycle.com and sign up for our newsletter, or you can subscribe to the Employee Cycle podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all other major podcast players. And last but not least, all of you awesome HR and people leaders, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.